I'm going to be preaching specifically, particularly from Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Just before we read, for those of you that may not know, on Sunday nights I answer questions that are given to me through the week. If you have a perplexing theological question and you'd like it to be put into a sermon form, well, I try and answer questions on a Sunday night. And tonight's one, the question I was asked this week, I don't need to mention names or places, is, are we living in the last days? Are we living in the last days? And if so, what does that mean? And how can we be certain? Hebrews 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, in other words, through dreams and prophecies and visions. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Can we just pray together? Oh Lord, I pray that you give me clarity in what I would say tonight. And I pray that you give discernment to all who hear. I pray for those who are outside of the revelation of your grace. I pray they will be drawn in even tonight. That you'll give them ears to hear, hearts to receive. But I pray, Lord, as controversial as this subject is, that it will be received, Lord, from where it comes, the very scripture itself, for Christ's sake. Amen. Are we... Oh, that's very, very boomy. Okay. Are we living in the last days? And what does that actually mean? You know, there's such a lot of talk recently about us being in the last days and how Christ is due to come back at any moment, and that the world is about to end. And I've heard so much talk recently about the last days. In fact, someone was very troubled and asked me about this. Are we in the last days? I remember when I went to study theology, now that was 30 years ago now. I remember some older person in the church coming up to me very advisedly and saying, it's no use going to college, you're wasting time. Jesus will be here in the next few years. Why bother to go and study? Why don't you just get out there and preach? You see, there was this sense, even way back in the 80s, that Jesus could come back at any moment. Usually, the talk about the last days nowadays is connected to certain events in the news. You know, like President Trump and his talk about Jerusalem, or war in the Middle East, or economic changes. And many people are latching on to these events that they read of in the newspapers, and they say, hey, look up at the signs, get ready, Jesus is coming, these are the last days. Now tonight, let's soberly consider whether or not these are the last days, and how are we to know for certain whether or not these are the last days? Because the Bible's got to give us that indication, otherwise you've got no certainty. And what does the Bible actually mean by the last days? This is such an important question, because if you've been around the block a few times in the past few years, there's a lot of conflicting ideas and a lot of confusion about the last days. I remember as a teenager, even before I was converted, reading a book by a man called Hal Lindsey called The Late Great Planet Earth. And wow, this book scared me. You know, it was all about the East Germans and the West Germans going to get together and fight. And, you know, the Cold War was on. And I was convinced after I read that book that any moment now the world's just going to blow up in a thermonuclear disaster. I was just waiting. Any moment now, look, the end's going to come. And I remember one Baptist preacher around that same time saying something like this. He said, "We will not reach the 21st century. I still remember him saying this, because Christ is going to come back long before we reach the year 2000. You see, the Cold War was sort of telling us, wasn't it? Something big's about to happen. We're about to blow each other up. The world's about to end. I wonder how many... Well, you see, in England it was different. British people are different. You've got to be excitable like Americans, you know, or South Africans. But, wow, it was very big in the 70s and 80s, all this end times talk. Did you have it over here? Not as much as in America, where it's all big talk. In fact, there was a whole lot of end time books written. Even Billy Graham wrote a book in 1976 called Approaching Hoofbeats. Did you ever read that? Approaching Hoofbeats. And in this book, he actually says that by the end of the 20th century, Christ will have returned. It's in his book. During the Cold War, and especially in the churches in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, everybody was talking about the last days. It was just, you know, something was going to happen. Even the famous gospel singer Keith Green had a magazine published every month called The Last Days Magazine. And I remember reading it as a teenager, and it was always saying, "Are you ready? You know, any moment now?" This was, of course, in the late 70s and early 80s. There was a big palaver at the turn of the millennium. Do you remember 1999, 2000, and the computers were all going to crash? And, well, it was very big in South Africa. Just about every church you went to, they were all talking about the return of Christ and the last days and the beginning of the apocalypse and all that. Well, we're 18 years into the millennium so far, and that hasn't materialized. Did you know that the last day's passion is something that's been going on for a very long time? All you've got to do is study church history, and you will see the church has always been thinking that their particular generation were the ones at the very end, the cutting edge of time, and they were just waiting. I had an old book at home. I don't know what happened to it. I lent it to someone, I think, written in 1932. And in this book, it says, "Get ready. In the next 7 years, Christ is coming." And it points to Mussolini and says he just made a deal with the Pope, and therefore he's the coming Antichrist. And the moment he's been shown, well, 7 years after that. And it was all so certain. Well, this was 1932, that Christ is about to return. Last days are here. Mussolini's the Antichrist. Well, if you know your history, you'll know that never materialized. The founder of the Jehovah's Witness sect, Russell, got everyone excited when he told them that Christ was to return in the year 1914. There was a fellow called William Miller in America who actually stirred up America. Wow, it was very big over there. He actually said he discovered the secret code to the book of Daniel. And he worked out the weeks and numbers in Daniel, and he said he knows the exact date and time of Christ's return. It was sometime in 1844. And you can look this up in your history books. Thousands of people got rid of their property. They quit their jobs. They all waited for this particular day, and when it never materialized, look it up on the computer, the great disappointment of 1844. By the way, it was the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventists. You see, there's always been these expectations that Christ is coming back, and our generation is to be the one where it all falls into place, the second coming. Do you know that in 999 AD, there was an edict sent out by the Pope? I haven't got his name, but you can look this up for yourself. He sent out an edict telling the church to get ready for the return of Christ by the turn of the first millennium. And he said the Antichrist is the Vikings who are destroying civilization. You see, the last days excitement has been around for a very long time. And if you study church history, you will realize that there's always been the last days. This teaching that Christ is coming back at any moment is not a new teaching. In fact, Irenaeus of Lyon, who lived in about 185 AD, not long after Christ, was saying very, very soon, we're waiting for the millennium. It's always been there. This Christ is coming now in our generation. Now you may say, oh, but things are different now. Listen, it's fine for you to say that, but now we've got signs that prove that the world is about to end. Look at Trump. Isn't he a sign? Look at Israel. Isn't that a sign? Look at all the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the terrible storms and the freak weather we're having. Aren't these certain signs that we're living in the last days? Well, do you not think that all the previous generations before us also had signs that seemed convincing to them that they were living in the last generation? I remember a book, maybe you remember it, written in 1980, and it was called 88 Signs That Christ Must Return by 1988. I don't think you'll find it on Amazon anymore, but 88 signs, and this book was saying this will happen and this will happen. And I remember this was a big seller in South Africa. Everyone had a copy of this book, and they were ticking them off, you know. Well, that's happened, and that's happened. 88 signs that Christ will be back by 88. Remember, 1988 was the generation from 1948 with Israel, remember? 88 signs. There have always been earthquakes, famines, and political upheavals, if you think soberly about it. So why should we think that our particular generation has all the final convincing signs now? We really do need to be careful, because it's so easy to get sidetracked into stuff like this and drawn away from what the church really should be busy doing. I'm going to say something now that it will be controversial in this day and age, but it wouldn't have been 100 years ago. The church is not to look forward and speculate and prognosticate. The church is to look back to the finished work of Christ. Christ is the center of history, and we're supposed to be looking at what he has done. But we've turned our back away from that, and we're looking forward into what he's going to do. And 90% of it's speculation. Because history proves that. These things, we can take a scripture here and a scripture there and hang them on a particular event. But it's been proven time and time again, this doesn't work. We are supposed to be looking back in time to the finished work of what Christ has done, and proclaiming that to whosoever will hear. And leave, return. Well, I'll come to that just now about the future, because I'm not saying we must be blind to the future. So having said all this, let me ask you again. Are we now living in the last days? Now, today, are we in the last days? What if I said I can prove biblically that yes, we are? We are living in the last days, but having said that, I need to explain what the Bible means by that term. We've got to read the Bible responsibly. And I'm sorry to say that the term last days, eschatoi hemerai, that term has been hijacked and twisted to mean something the Bible never intended it to mean. But I'm going to prove it to you if you have an open mind and you're reading a Bible tonight. Are we in the last days? Listen, we've been in the last days since Christ ascended up to heaven 2,000 years ago. Look at the text. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Do you see that there? Now, what we read here is very important. Here we're told about two different epochs of time. It says, in the past, that is in the Old Testament dispensation, and then it says, in these last days, which means what? In the New Testament dispensation. Here we have in our text a dichotomy, a distinction made. The former days, when God spoke through prophets in various ways, through visions and dreams and things like that. But now in these last days, the apostle is saying, God has spoken finally, that's where the last comes in, spoken finally through Christ his Son. What the Bible means here by last days is this. Now please listen and tell me afterwards if you don't agree, or talk to me afterwards, but I'm just going on what the scripture's saying here. What the Bible means here by last days is the final way God is to communicate himself to the human race. Would you agree? In the past, he spoke through the prophets at many times and in various different ways. But in these last days, he speaks through Christ. So here we need to ask, are we in the last days? Well, yes, of course we are. We are living in what is known as the dispensation of gospel grace. Or let me put it this way. There is no more that God intends to say to the human race than what he has said in Christ. It's last, it's finished. These are the last days. We're told in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John writes this, "Dear children, this is the last hour." Now, never mind the last day. Here he says it's the last hour. Now, I'm sure you realize 2,000 years have gone since John wrote this epistle. Well, it's a very, very long hour, isn't it? Or was he mistaken in saying it was the last hour? Did he think it was going to come at any moment? And was he mistaken? No. All of the exegetes and theologians I've looked up do not believe that. The apostle understood this term apocalyptically, not chronologically. Apocalyptically, not chronologically. In other words, when the apostle spoke about the last days, they were talking about God's final revelation, not the end of the world. If you look at 1 John, you will see he's speaking about Antichrist and the false teachers. And he's saying the last days are here. We're right there, right on the brink of time. Christ has spoken. We don't need the false teachers. So yes, we're living in the last days. But what we mean by the last days is not a chronological, well, you know, the world's going to suddenly end at any moment. But Christ has spoken in the former days. He used the prophets, but in the last days he's spoken through Christ. These last days. Now, you may be thinking, hold on, are you telling me that the Bible doesn't tell us that the world is going to end? Are you telling me that Christ is not coming again? No, 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 a million times no. I can't wait till Jesus comes back. I really wish it would be tonight. All you've got to do is look at 2 Peter, the book of Revelation, the book of Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Just in fact, the talks of Jesus, we read something now in Luke. It's very clear that Christ is going to come back. In fact, it says this in Acts chapter 1. The same Jesus who was taken up into the clouds of glory, physically and visibly, will come back again the same way he went. So I believe in the physical return of Christ. Christ will return. It's the great hope of the church. When we see our needs and we know his promises, we can look up, our redemption draws nigh. But the question is this. And as I say, please talk to me afterwards about it. Don't just, you know, let it irritate you if I said something you didn't like. Should we be prognosticating and stargazing and looking forward to what we do not know when the church is supposed to be pointing back to the center point of history, the Christ event? Our job is to proclaim Christ, not potentialities, not hypothetical maybes. We're supposed to be speaking about what has been finished in Christ. We're supposed to be looking back, not looking forward, looking at the latest movement of the stars. Or, you know, you get some people who look on YouTube, and there's some weird things on YouTube. You know that one about the 21st of September? The world is going to end. It was all brothers and sisters. Christ is coming the 21st of September. Oh, I don't know which 21st of September, but... We've got to be very careful. There are some people that seem to have a newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, and they read their Bible in the light of their political situation. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be expectant. Of course we should be expectant. But we've got to be very careful of making church time speaking of things that we're not commissioned to preach. If you look at every time we're commissioned in the New Testament, it's to preach about what has been achieved in Christ. Not what we think might happen. We've got to be very careful. But you know what? If you're not convinced now, and you think, oh, listen, some disaster's got to happen, and we've got to look out for the disasters, let's just consider what Jesus said in the passage that Malcolm read. Do you know that Jesus clearly teaches us in his word that when he does return, his return will be what? A total surprise. It will be unexpected. Jesus tells us that when he will come as a thief in the night. Now, when a thief comes in the night, when is it? When you're snoozing and complacent and you're not expecting it. In fact, he even makes it clearer. He says, when people are talking of peace and security, then suddenly the end will come. What? Peace and security? What about the stars falling out the sky? What about the earthquakes and famines? No, he says, when Christ comes, everyone will be complacent, talking peace and security. Jesus tells us it will be as in the days of Noah. People will be buying and selling. What does that tell you? It will be business as usual. He tells us people will be marrying and being given in marriage. So his end will come, according to Christ himself, at a time when it's just a normal day. And it will just come like that, like it did in Sodom and Gomorrah, like it did in the days of Noah. You see, Jesus does not want us to be staring up to heaven looking for dates and times when we should be preaching what has been done in Christ. He clearly tells us nobody knows the final day, no one except the Father. The funny thing is, there are people out there making millions of dollars writing these silly paperbacks, giving you dates and times when Christ comes, when Jesus himself has said nobody knows. Just trust him. It's going to come when you least expect it. So, do we live in the last days? Well, according to Scripture, yes. We've been in the last days since Jesus ascended into heaven. What that means is he spoke previously through visions and miracles and signs and all those things. But now he's spoken through Christ, and that's it. He's not going to speak again in any other way. He's spoken finally in Christ. And now God wants us to get on with the job of... Jesus put it this way. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find us faithfully getting on with our job? If we're busy looking up at the signs and all the rest of it, instead of doing what we should be doing, preaching the finished work of Christ, we're not being faithful. We're speculating. And if you think now that you've got some sort of monopoly over your claim that Christ is coming back in your generation compared to the Pope in 999 or William Miller in 1844, just think again. We are commissioned to preach the finished work of Christ, not to tell people to speculate, because no one but Christ, no one but the Father knows when he's coming. And we are to be faithful and realize, do you know what? He could come tonight. You know, it's going to be like that. We've got to be very careful because there's so many interpretations out there. The last days means the final revelation, which is Christ. If you look it up, you'll see all the places in the New Testament. Let's just pray. Father, please, please just keep your sheep safe. There are people, Lord, who would probably be angry at what I've said, and Lord, I'm not stepping on toes on purpose, but this needs to be said. May we know that Christ is the center of history. His work is the message we proclaim. That's the fullness of time. And Lord, your return will be the greatest surprise ever known to man. Thank you for this in Jesus' name.